I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Allison and this is Dave Crim.
Yo, ahoy, how are we?
I'm not bad, how are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Eager to get going with this because I've already stopped our guests from talking about Friends twice in the sort of preamble before we started recording. And it's, which is always a good sign because it means they're like really raring to go and have a lot to say. So shall we meet today's friend on Friends with Friends?
Yes, let's do this.
It is the marvellous actor-writer Yasmin Akram and all-round wonderful human. Hello, Yasmin Akram.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very excited to be here.
You really are, aren't you? People do say that quite often and you wonder whether they're lying or not, but you've talked about Friends before we even got into the studio.
Oh, I was ready to go,
and then
Dave.
Once we're in here, we've been talking about it. So hang on, let's recap a couple of things that you sort of let slip. You had a binder with the picture of the Friends cast on, is that right?
Yes, and it wasn't even like a store-bought binder. I made it myself. So I cut a picture of them out of like a magazine or something, and then I stuck it with sellotape going across, like every strand of sellotape went across a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I stuck it really well down, and it took me, I think, about 20 minutes to do that, and then had them on my home ec binder.
Do you remember what they were doing in the photo?
It was, I think it's a very known photo of Rachel's got her head on, I think, Ross's shoulder, and they're all like together and they're all wearing black.
Yeah.
And I think they might be in Central Park.
Yeah.
But it's one of the old schooly, like Rachel has the Rachel haircut.
Are they all in like sort of smart clothes?
Yes.
Yes, I do know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my brain.
And then there's one of them all walking together. I didn't have that on the binder, but I'm just aware of that as
I
well.
I think I had a poster maybe or something like a binder of them recreating that, you know, that the, you know, the builders sitting over New York.
Yes.
On the beam.
Yeah.
They
yes.
recreated that at some point. I don't think they actually recreated it. It's probably some sort of green screen magic, but I definitely remember that being around for quite a long time.
The magic of cinema.
The real technological wonders. So you were always a Friends fan.
Is yes.
That's the,
yeah, and, from and day one.
Another thing you said before we started recording, which was just one of those things where you go, oh yeah, because you said I used to wait every Monday night because Ireland.
Yes.
So we always watched it on, well, we've Thursdays or Friday nights over here, depending on what sort of era it was.
That's right. I think there was a time where we got both episodes. So Ireland would get it on Monday and then you guys would get it on Thursday so we could watch it.
So were
twice.
You ahead of us?
Yes, we were.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, we just needed it.
You've got it all going now. You had Friends before us. Now you get to stay in the EU. This is an absolute shambles.
Guys, we keep winning in Ireland and we know it.
Oh, man. That is so... do you know what? Had I known... This is the thing. Like, I reckon maybe had this been today, because I didn't know anyone outside of like my small village growing up. But
right.
Now if you had like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff,
yes,
you know, you'd be making Irish friends. You'd be like, lads, come on.
Oh, tell us what happened.
Pop us over a link. We'd tell us what happened. All that sort of stuff.
We would be like, they were on a break.
Yeah, we'd be like, what? For what? Who? Who's on a break?
That's all
know.
I'm saying. This is us being friends as kids now.
Yeah.
I love this. So now,
I get to see it in 4 days. Shit. So how did you go about choosing your episode for today's podcast?
Well, because I think if I'm honest, over time, Rachel is probably my favourite.
Right.
Of all the friends. And there's just a particular joke in this episode that gets me every bloody time. I just piss myself every time she does it.
That's
so that's why I picked it.
So you've picked it for literally one line?
For one line.
I want to try and guess what the line is when we get to it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to guess which one it is.
There's one line that Rachel says in this that really sticks with me, and I sort of reference it quite a lot when they're at the charity ball.
Yes.
And she's talking to Mr. Beaumont.
Yes.
Is it that? Is it in there?
Yes.
I think I'm getting there. Anyway, let's reveal. What is your episode, please?
It is the one with the proposal.
The one with the proposal, the finale of season 6. We've done quite a lot of season 6 recently, haven't we, Pete?
Yeah, I noticed this when I was on Netflix and noticed that many of the series 6 ones were all sort of ticked off on my Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, season 6 was good. I think that's when it started to get goofier.
Right.
And that's when I started, because I liked it, like season 1, 2, like I was part of it.
Yeah.
But it was more kind of like they were cute and they were 20 somethings. As they got older and it just got goofier, that's when I was into all the silly shit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's good. Because my favourites, if you ask me what my favourites are, mine the first half, the first like seasons 1 to 5.
But really?
Pete, you're more of a 6 to 10er, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Do you know what, guys? There's something for everyone in Friends.
Exactly.
That's the absolute dream of it. Now, we always start this podcast by reading out the sort of synopsis, just so people that haven't watched it recently can catch up and just be like, oh yeah, I remember those things happening.
Yes.
Problem with this episode, Yaz, is that this is a two-parter and we're really focusing on the first part.
Yes. I mean, we can reference part 2. Listen, we'll skim over it if needs be.
We'll have a look. But the thing is, I don't want to waste that for someone else might want to choose that in the future, you know?
I want the proposal part 2.
Part 2. We've already done London part 1, which I think our guests, who are the Mac twins, they chose it, and then I think they probably got to the end of it and went, oh.
Hit the wrong half.
That's basically the setup to a big punchline. Like, they watched a 22 minute, like, we're off to London to do loads of fun stuff, and we all got to the end and went, most of the fun stuff is in the second half.
Yeah, we should have said that. The proposal episode 2, sorry, I did a little proposal.
Yeah, lovely.
Not so much fun, though.
Right, so this is the interesting thing. So usually with these Friends two-parters, the first half is a bit all set up and then we get to the real meat in the second half. You know, all the Ross in London getting married to Emily and then Ross and Rachel getting married in Vegas, all of that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But you're right, this first half is loads better because it's just more fun.
Yes, also I have a lot of problems with the second part. I mean, we can talk about it. I don't mind, but there's realms of reality, and I know it's Friends, but I'm just going, I don't buy any of this shit.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do most of this on part 1, and then you can have like a Jerry's final thought moment just to take us through your sort of short thoughts on part 2. Do you know what I mean? Just so you can have a little
vent.
Exactly. So here's what I was saying is, because we're doing mainly part 1, we always read these synopses off Wikipedia, so I now have to just start reading it through and decide when to stop.
Sure.
Because when this episode ends. So here's what it is. It's series 6, episode 24 is part 1. Chandler takes Monica out to dinner when he plans to propose. However, as Chandler starts to broach the subject, Richard suddenly turns up at the same restaurant and the moment is lost. Returning to the apartment, Chandler starts to worry that Monica may be getting suspicious and, desperate to surprise her, starts to pretend he isn't interested in settling down. Meanwhile, Ross finds himself rethinking his relationship with Elizabeth because of her immaturity and finds himself in the middle of a water balloon fight. Then his fears are confirmed and he breaks up with her. And Joey accidentally buys a boat. Great. This is great. At a silent auction, falls in love with the idea of being a sailor and decides to keep the boat. So that's actually the end of part 1. Then we're into sort of Richard coming to find Monica and be like, oh, I'm in love with you again, blah, 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 blah. Which all happens very quickly. But, you know, again.
Too quickly,
isn't it? Yeah. Poor old Richard's girlfriend. That's the first thing.
So she was just the first casualty.
Oh, I know, she was, wasn't she?
Chuck her out.
Where would you like to start? You have three options. We can start with Ross and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. We can start with Chandler and Monica/Richard. Or we could start with the boat.
Oh, I think let's get Ross and Elizabeth out of the way.
Yeah, let's headline with the boat, shall we? Because that's where we're all. Yeah, that's where we're all
that's
going.
That's where all the
for.
Love is.
Yeah, right. Ross and Elizabeth. This is a weird era of Friends, isn't it? You always forget about these sort of characters like Elizabeth going back, and you go, do you know what? They were a weirdly big part of Friends for half a season or something.
She's in quite a few episodes, isn't she?
She is.
There's quite a few stories involving her.
Well, also, and Bruce Willis is her dad.
Right. And you've got to wonder how much of that storyline was just because they were like, we've got Willis, guys.
Yeah.
How
and we do just we crowbar keep going with
him
this.
In? Yeah.
Just get Willis in. And also, I thought it was quite an abrupt end for them.
Yeah. I mean, poor old Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't suited, were they?
No, going forward.
And there's a lot of problems with mid-30s Ross.
Yeah, and 19-year-old Elizabeth.
Student Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every We hit every problem there, don't we?
The age gap is actually referenced in this episode as well, isn't it? Because someone makes a comment about her being 12 years younger. So I wasn't aware that I actually knew what that age gap was until this.
Oh, well, and also I thought that was a little bit similar to, do you remember, I think in one of the first series, definitely, Monica was dating a guy who was, I thought, and there was a few, I felt, recycled jokes about,
we stumble across those now that we're looking in real depth into Friends. You go, because last week's episode was the one with Ross's teeth, where he, he whitens his teeth and they're too white and disaster.
Yeah.
And Pete pointed out very astutely that it's like the exact same storyline as the one with Ross's tan.
Yes.
Where he goes to get a tan and it all goes wrong. And, Ross looks stupid because of the thing he's done to his face.
That's true.
Yeah. And I had never put two and two together with that, but that's just the same storyline.
Just exactly
with a different beauty problem, isn't it? Yeah.
Also, it makes Ross look really vain.
Like vain, but really stupid. Yes. Like, can't do a basic function.
But that's the thing. You just go, I would have never seen that as part of Ross's personality in that first series. And then you just go, there's so many things evolve and happen over time.
And Ross is supposed to be the clever one as well. Exactly, like, I've never known anyone either whiten their teeth too much or get a tan so they look that colour. But he's managed to do both.
I know. Over and over again, he stood in front of the same bloody nozzle, didn't he? No matter which way he turned,
counting
it just happened.
Mississippi-lessly. this is a kind of a bit of a non-event, this, isn't it? So, weirdly, I feel like, in my memory, Ross and Elizabeth, they weren't like completely suited, but they got on well and she seemed a lot more mature. And it felt like in this episode, they suddenly went, we just got to make her into a child.
We've just got to get rid of her very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's the end of the season, guys.
Yeah, so she's got to go. Because it was like he walks into the coffee shop and he said, I think it's Phoebe's like, there's a 12-year age gap. Yeah. And then he goes,
You're right. Yeah.
Like, he knows,
only just occurred to him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, isn't it funny that suddenly when Bruce Willis is now gone, we've realised this age gap.
Right, exactly.
There's also a bit where they're counting through the her negatives and positives, which is the thing Friends seems to like to do a lot about
The list.
Women. But they list as one of the negatives that Ross would get fired if his employers knew about it. I feel like he should have been more conscious of that all along.
You would think, that would have been on his mind. He'd forgotten an awful lot for Elizabeth. He gave up an awful lot, and then she was gone after a water balloon fight.
He put a lot on the line,
which
sort of your brain goes, well, that means he probably really liked her. Like, he was taking a lot of risks, like his job, his being ridiculed for his friend, just like his general reputation was taking a bit of a battering.
But
he obviously was like, oh, I really like this girl. And then suddenly, like you say, they're just like, you've noticed, though, that she's really young, haven't you? And that he's like, oh, no.
Oh, now that I think about it.
Had not occurred to me.
And then goes around and it is based on a water balloon fight that he thinks. And because she doesn't want to go to see a play. I never want to go and see a bloody play.
No, I could sympathise a lot with Elizabeth in that scene. And I am 33 years old now. I was like, do I want to go see a play or have a water balloon fight with cocktails? I think we all know the answer to that. And I don't want to know when that will change. Age will I hit where I'll choose the play?
It never has to change.
Time is inevitable, Yaz. It might happen.
That's true, but I'm like to think I'd always pick a water balloon fight. Even if I was 93.
Let's hold ourselves to that, guys. We'll have a Friends with Friends water balloon fight in about 40 years. And all our other halves, be they may, can go off and watch a play.
Exactly. That's what they want to do. They're the Rosses.
But that's kind of it, isn't it? It's gone. It's so quick.
Yeah. And then there's I think he has a moment of thinking he did the wrong thing by breaking up with her because she seemed very mature.
Yeah.
And then she throws a water balloon
at him. Yeah.
And he's
like, nah, done.
Yeah. That's it.
We get those. I really enjoy those because they're kind of weird, the Friends moments, because it's his inner monologue, isn't it? It's the voiceover, which is, it pops up occasionally, but it's quite out of place, isn't it?
It really does. You always go, this is, why do we need this device?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it just all becomes clear.
It all just happens.
And I've got, I have to say, Ross is probably up there with Rachel as much. Like, they switch sometimes as being my favourite.
Well, when they got together, you must have been ecstatic.
This is the thing. Don't enjoy them together.
Ooh.
Don't enjoy them together.
Spoil each other.
And also, I think when they were together, it was earlier series and I didn't like, I mean, I liked them, but when they separated and just kind of got goofier and sillier in their own right, that's when I fell in love with them both.
Yeah.
But so he's kind of squandered a little bit in this episode for me because I do love, I do love a Ross being like doing goofy things, like getting his tan wrong or overly bleaching his teeth.
There's a couple of something I noticed watching this back is that's Ross's sort of arc in this episode, which is very minimal. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the charity gala or whatever it is in more detail in a bit. But what I noticed is Phoebe's entire storyline for this episode is getting drunk.
Yes, and that's, being really, really rude.
That's all she has. It's like they've given her even less than Ross has. They're like, Rachel and Joey are really going to hold it down at this gala with the boat thing.
Yes.
Lisa Kudrow, why don't you just, you're just going to get pissed.
Yes.
And be a bit of a dick.
That's
the end. Is
and
that
try
right?
and get a free holiday to France.
Yeah. Yes. It's really interesting. That's their entire arc.
That's the power of Phoebe, though. Just that you can just put her in any situation and she's basically going to steal an awful lot of the scenes that she's in.
Yeah.
And it has to be something small like that.
Yeah.
Because I again, really remember Phoebe in this episode, and I remember her being drunk, and I remember her trying to go to France. And you can't, and I can't really say that about many actresses in a show, if they had that little to do.
Right.
That you'd remember them in that way, and specifically what they were doing.
No, so. That's so true, isn't it? And she's got that great line about Rachel says, how is you getting drunk helping the kids? And she says, the more I drink, the less there is for the kids to drink, which is a great line. Really lovely line. And,
delivered so well.
So we're closing the book on Ross and Elizabeth, yeah?
Yeah, that's done. We've acknowledged it happened. We're moving on.
Fine. Chandler and Monica and Richard?
Chandler and Monica and Richard.
Right, so this is the proposal. We're building up to the proposal. We start in the apartment, don't we? There's the hoo-ha with the ring, and Phoebe puts the ring in her mouth when Monica walks in.
Yeah.
My main take on this bit is how, because I know that it ends the episode with Chandler worried that Monica's noticed, but she really hasn't noticed.
No.
She hasn't clocked a single thing.
Not at all.
How?
I mean, exactly.
It's so obvious.
There is no subtlety to his planning at all, is there? At one point, he is practicing saying, will you marry me, out loud while she's in the next room.
It's so true, isn't it?
Come on, Chandler.
Come on, mate. You're better than that. So, yeah. So she walks in on them when there's a ring. Phoebe's holding a ring.
Yes.
Doesn't notice it. They all look weird. Phoebe even goes with the ring in her mouth.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that seems normal. Normal Phoebe. Then she walks back in. Chandler's in it.
Yeah.
Then, like you say, she walks in while Chandler's practicing saying, will you marry me? Then when she comes out to go for dinner, they're all standing around
looking. All of her friends are there.
Absolutely. Like, they're all welling up. She's oh, yeah, this seems fine.
Yes, yeah.
There's also a bit in Central Perk where Rachel invites them to that charity do, and Chandler's like, don't forget, we're going for dinner.
Yes.
And, doesn't clock. No. And then he starts patting his jacket down, won't give her the jacket and the I mean, there's like, we're into double signs. Figures, aren't we? Obvious ones.
The thing is, she must know. Like, any person in that situation would realise that something is probably brewing there, which makes it so odd then that when Chandler pretends all of a sudden that he doesn't want to get married, is against the idea of getting married, surely if you're Monica in that situation, like, how would you feel if you were convinced that an engagement was about to happen, it was imminent, and then suddenly he's being really weird? Like, wouldn't you just go with it and think that you were still going to end up being proposed to?
Yeah, he shouldn't be an amazing actor. It should be like, see. He's pretending he doesn't want to get married. Yeah. But I know, after everything that went on the other night.
Right, yeah. He's nearly absolutely fucked this. And he's really trying. Look at it. Bless his little socks. But none of the others have got her back, have they? Like, I'd be like, Rachel or someone should be like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Monica. We all know what's going on here.
Listen, in the history of the world, no actual friends would ever keep that a secret from another person.
Right.
Because if I was crying and saying to my best friend, I thought he was going to propose to me, and now he's saying he never wants to get married, she would, of course, say, he's doing a stupid joke. He's going to ask you next week. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Just look surprised. But that's the thing. I mean, that irks me. And then as soon as Richard arrives, I'm double irked.
Aye.
Because I'm just going, why? What are we doing? What are we saying? Richard has been gone for so long. Yeah. That why is
I
this
looked
there?
This up. He'd been gone for three series.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and then when she saw him and kind of goes, oh, there's Richard. oh, you know, maybe he won't see us. Richard!
Yeah.
Then that, if I was Chandler, I'd be a bit like, why is she screaming?
What are you doing? Yeah.
All of it. And then the waiter, the table right next to the
I mean, how close
free.
Is that table? How close is that table? That is implausibly close table.
Also, if you walk in and you're about to propose to your girlfriend and you see there's a table that close to you, yeah. you're going to say to the waiter, can you move us somewhere else? Because I'm actually going to propose tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to do so. You're not going to sit front and center right beside another table. Oh. Come on.
Do you know what? I've got problems with the proposal. Plan in the first place.
Yes.
Really dull, isn't it?
Yeah.
Taking you to a fancy restaurant and then just proposing over dinner. That is.
Especially like, given she spends her life working in restaurants.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Taking her to work and out you go and just. But that's like. That's the first thing. That's like proper old school. Like, no one ever proposes like that anymore. Surely.
No.
Just over dinner.
Oh, I mean, just get a picnic blanket,
Chandler.
Just do
something, yeah.
Do something like that. I mean, his heart is in the right place.
He's just throwing money at it, isn't it?
He's just
expensive
really...
champagne, fancy dinner. That's all he's got. He's got no imagination, Chandler. Considering he becomes this advertising guru.
I know.
With all the imagination.
The thing with Chandler is this kind of element of Chandler, this, like, Chandler season 6, I'm not such a massive fan of. He was, like, back in the day in the earlier episodes and series, he was my favourite by... A country mile. But the proposal really pisses me off because of the Chandler element of it. Richard coming back after a million years and suddenly thinking and saying to Monica, like, I've loved you. I've always loved you. You're like, okay, Richard has been set up as a man's man, as the, you know, the most alpha dude you could ever meet in your life. If he has been in love with Monica for 3 years, he is going to tell her before now.
Right.
No question about it.
What's he been faffing around for 3 years doing? Just dating other people?
Well, he says at one point he went to Africa to help kids.
Yeah, blind kids.
Yeah, No, that didn't happen.
You are like... Richard becomes a... I used to really like Richard. He was a great character in sort of season 2, season 3, that era. No, he's just a dick.
No, he's just showing up, lying about loving her. He's just trying to get back into her pants, let's be honest.
Come on, Richard.
There's that moment in the... I know we're discussing part one, but there is that moment in part two from memory, isn't there, where Chandler says something like, you had your chance and you blew it. And you kind of feel like, well, that's kind of fair enough. Like, Richard had plenty of opportunities to be with Monica forever if he wanted to, and they knocked it on the head. So you do kind of side with Chandler a bit in that, come on, you've had your moment.
Yeah.
Let me have a go.
I just also feel like from Monica's perspective, this is a really bad look for her.
Yes.
That she's like ready to marry this dude that she's been friends with for all her life.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Richard pops up and she's literally then, there's no real explanation as to why it suddenly becomes a choice for her.
No,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, Chandler v. Richard.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
That's
your
thing.
Boyfriend of years that you've known and you've decided you want to marry. And that's your ex who's just popped up.
It doesn't make Monica look brilliant.
No, why are you then now on an even keel, you know?
I know. It's also, there's the kind of... Oh, no, it's completely... Do you know what? I was thinking of so many things at the same time that my brain actually stuffed up. I had so much to say. I was angry at everybody in that situation. Monica, Chandler, especially Richard.
Yeah.
It's just... it's not... I don't know. I think if they wanted to, and I know they can't because Friends episodes, for the most part, are standalone. But if they'd introduced Richard even earlier on in the season as somebody just coming back into our life, I think it would have... I would have bought it more.
It made more sense, right?
But him just showing up out of the blue like that, it undermines everything that we know about him. Mm. And as you say, it undermines Monica as well because... like, she loves Chandler. She wants to be with him. Just because the guy that I know plenty of guys I was madly in love with 2 or 3 years ago. If they showed back up now, I'd be like, first of all, it took you 3 years to make up your mind. I don't like you anymore.
No, I'm done, thanks.
Yeah.
I've moved on.
Also, had he not bumped into her in a restaurant, does that mean he would never have realised that he loved her?
Right.
I think you're right. Yeah, he wouldn't have. And that's horrible. That makes him look like a prick. It's like he saw her and went, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think
I'm her. Yeah.
Oh, I'm madly in love with her.
Yeah.
As we've just established, there was a woman on a date with him and she's been tossed out.
Poor old Richard's girlfriend. Also, the final... I know we've really hammered home how terrible this is for everyone, really. But if you were Chandler and I'd be rethinking that relationship.
Me too.
Going like, I thought we were really solid.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were...
Yeah.
Together forever.
Yes.
And Richard pops up after 3 years and you suddenly nearly leave me.
Yeah.
Like,
I think I would think I was being settled for.
Yeah. I'd be like, this isn't not what I'm after.
No, I want someone who loves me, and it doesn't matter who shows up,
yeah,
they're not gonna run off with
them. Right.
Just because he's tall and has a mustache.
Oh, great mustache.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with him physically, he's just an Adonis.
I fancy Richard a bit.
Well, this is gonna sound, I'm gonna veer off and come back.
Okay.
So I have a really weird thing about Richard because I didn't really know my dad very much, but my dad did look exactly like Richard.
Really?
So like every time I would watch Magnum PI, there would be some kind. So I have a strange kind of thing where I just want Richard to like watch me ride a bike and like hold me when I'm sick.
Oh my name.
But I just want him to be my dad.
Okay.
But I also can tell.
You can see that he's aesthetically pleasing.
Yes. When I see him, I think that there's
like
my dad.
Fancying your dad. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So it's not. So, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, this is, I feel like we could do a whole podcast on this.
Just on breaking that down. Three men and a baby. Fuck off. I was in this. That was like three sessions of therapy right there. Just in itself.
Oh my days. So was there a sort of more visceral reaction for you when Richard walked into that restaurant after 3 years?
Yes, I was like, he's back, but he'll leave. I know what he's like. You can't trust him. So yeah, that's why maybe a lot of my Richard anger, sure, you know, feels, it should be channeled in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a bit more of it now, definitely.
But I do, I have problems. I have problems with him anyway, with the character.
Yes.
My own personal life aside.
What would happen if you got a comedian in a room, you open their Amazon account, and you look back at everything they've ever bought on that website? Well, this.
Because I was consuming so much peanut butter, I decided to try and get a powdered version that wasn't as fattening.
Your handwriting can change your life.
I regret this book. I regret this book.
Keep Calm and Love Dom Jolly novelty keyring, yeah, and fridge
that.
Magnets.
Yeah, I love, yes, that. I do have that on my fridge.
£4 you spent on that.
That's My Mate Bought a Toaster, available now from Great Big Al.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, the boat, the charity gala, the trip to Paris, all of this, Phoebe getting drunk. Great. Just a, yeah, great bit of friends. This.
Just, yeah, awesome bit of friends, awesome bit of sitcoming.
From the start, when we get this sort of, oh, what's a silent auction? And suddenly we're in, and suddenly
yeah,
it's all about to go to shit.
Exactly. And then, you know, you got to love the fact that Rachel brings the two biggest dopes in the gang. Yeah.
Something that in is, her attempts to make the best impression to her boss as well. That's the whole reason she's going, and she takes Phoebe yeah, and Joey.
That is so true, isn't it?
Yeah, just of every single option she has. I mean, bring Gunther, even.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't bloody bring Joey.
Bring someone keen to impress. Yeah. Someone that'll make you look good. Not, oh, poor. I mean, ultimately, weirdly, Joey does end up making her look good because he buys a $20,000 boat.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's a lot of roller coaster along the way, isn't there?
There really is. And there's like also the thing of, like, as we've just said, Phoebe getting drunk at your work too as well. Because Phoebe's an aggressive drunk.
Yes.
So what's she going to do in that night? There's a buffet there. Joey's going to go nuts.
Yeah.
Like, all of it is bad, but as yeah, you're right.
It's all Joey, like tempting bits, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Buffet Joey comes Joey. Good in the end. Yeah. So
he does come good in the end.
Also, I'll say, and it's a bit of a sidebar, but I think it should be noted that Jennifer Aniston's hair in this episode looks fantastic.
Okay, more so than normal. Like
yes, despite Phoebe's comment about it as well.
Phoebe does comment about it. She says, "What's going on with your hair?" And I think that that should be it should have been taken out of the script.
Right.
Maybe it's they're just lampooning the fact that this woman is known for having the best hair in the world.
Yeah.
But there was, I just went, I don't buy that. And I refuse to laugh.
So we all had a somber moment, did we, about the hair?
Yeah. What? I was like enjoying it. Then I went, oh no.
Weirdly, I didn't, this probably says a lot about me, didn't look at Jennifer Aniston's hair in that moment.
David, so. You should always be looking at Jennifer Aniston's hair.
It is perfectly in place. Like there is no sort of misplaced kink. It's not sort of hanging weirdly over a fringe or anything. Like there is nothing for Phoebe to make that comment.
No, it's like it spun gold.
Standard. Textbook Rachel hair.
Can I say, and maybe the hair was the wrong target, but in defense of that line by Phoebe, that for me was, because I watched it back last night, having not seen it for ages, and the moment where Phoebe goes, so what's going on here? And Rachel goes, well, this is a silent auction. I was like, oh, that's a bit of really clunky exposition. Like Phoebe going, hey, Jennifer, tell us the story of what's about to happen.
Yes.
And then when Phoebe then comes back and goes, no, but I just meant what's going on with your hair. That sort of pulled it back for me as sort of like, we're not just setting up the story here in a really clunky way a bit.
There's a joke here.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She's sort of like, yeah. And that's why I enjoyed that maybe more so. But I should look to the hair. And maybe the hair was the wrong thing.
Maybe, do you know, I'm getting overly touchy, as I tend to do about the hair. And you've explained it perfectly.
In defense
of
the
exposition.
Hair. Yeah.
They had to have a joke at the end of it. Then what? And if she'd said something like, "What's going on with your face?" That's too mean.
Yeah, exactly. No. Maybe she could have said dress. Maybe they could have dressed her in something weird.
Yes.
You know, there's different things they could have done. Maybe the hair was the wrong target. So Joey ends up this concept. I remember watching this, thinking at the time, being as a kid, thinking this is a brilliant concept that someone misunderstands a silent auction and thinks they're guessing. I'm sure it had been done before. I'm sure it's been done since. But I do remember watching this at the time going, that is absolute solid gold.
I'm right with you.
And solid Joey as well. That's like peak Joey misunderstanding that completely and just making a guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's done so well. Just that I guessed right. Yeah. Brilliantly delivered. It's it's perfect.
It's wonderful, isn't it? And the boat thing's weird, isn't it? Just in general. So Joey acquires a boat. He doesn't have $20,000, of course.
No.
Who of us has $20,000 just to
I think
staff
mac
on
and
the-
cheese is well in the future. There's lots of, you know, he's not, I don't think he's working in this.
No,
is he Days of Our Lives in this?
It's very hard. On this podcast, we jump in the middle of seasons and dot around. So the chronology is tricky. Wait, I can probably do a quick.
What I've always enjoyed about Joey's career is that
he's just got mac and cheese.
He's just got mac and cheese.
Three episodes before. Something like
okay,
that.
So he's probably making American money. So yeah, he's probably doing quite well.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he does make reference to the fact that he doesn't have $20,000.
No, but he probably would.
About making payments for it, doesn't he?
Yes, that's
like he's renting it.
I mean, it's even bizarre that they've just gone, let's give Joey a boat.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm fascinated by.
Yeah.
The main bit of interest for me with the boat is when the boat arrives. So I got two problems with this. One, why is the boat arriving at the coffee house?
Like, occurred to me before I watched it for this podcast episode. I was suddenly watching it and thinking, why is it arriving outside Central Park?
So it's arriving at Central Park where he doesn't live.
Yeah.
And okay, we can almost, like, they live above it, so maybe that's where it would pull up. But B, you don't deliver a boat to land.
No.
Famously.
No.
You would be like, right, we're going to deliver your boat to some sort of marina.
And then the next day, you take it yourself? Yeah. You just get yourself to some water?
What are they doing with the boat? They're just unloading it onto the pavement and going, right, we've done our bit.
It's your problem now. Deal with it.
You get this boat to the river.
Just do it, Joey. Pick it up. Put it on your back.
Absolutely mad.
They could have like picked it up and done pivot.
They could have pivoted the boat. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have done, but just we never see how the boat then gets to water.
No.
I feel like that's a whole episode in itself.
Yeah, exactly. There is some balls that have been dropped here.
Yeah,
the boat, Richard,
Rachel's hair.
You know, but it's still just for this one joke that I'm sure we're going to get to very soon. It's my favourite.
We're really building up to it. Now, I still don't know exactly what this joke is. Pete, do you know what it is yet? Have you guessed? Don't say what it is, but if you've...
Well, if it's from the conversation with Mr. Beaumont, which I think you said it is, there are two standout bits in the Mr. Beaumont conversation for me.
Okay. I'm going to make my guess.
Okay.
Okay.
And then Pete, you can make your guess if it's different or the same. But I don't know. This is the line for me that I love and really comes back is when she's describing the scene to Mr. Beaumont. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about, just picture this, the boat going down the river, you got all this things, the wind in your arms. And it's that's the line for me, where she goes to say hair and then says arms. Is that the one?
That's the one.
Yeah. It is so brilliant.
I also love the Pam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the other bit I was going to mention. Yeah, the idea of naming the boat Pam.
Because this is the thing about Jennifer Aniston, which doesn't get talked about enough, is that she is incredibly funny and she's incredibly brilliant at delivering lines.
Yeah.
So just in that moment of her looking at his bald head and then moving down to his arms, just her delivery of that
is so good, isn't it?
Perfect.
I know. And I just realized how good it was because I couldn't recreate it at all. I couldn't even, I was like in my head, I was like, oh, fuck this. I've just said the word arms, you know, which isn't funny. Like it's, she does this thing where she goes, and stops for a tiny split second and then goes, arms.
Yes.
And it's like so brilliant.
I can't do it either. And I've tried to do it multiple times where I just go, you got the wind in your arms.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're getting there.
That's like a million years of trying.
Yeah, but you you are a professional actor as well, which, you know, I don't want to say we're in competition here, but mate, even in Sherlock, and I have not. Different vibes.
I haven't been in Friends though, so that's.
Had you been in Friends, it would have been as one of the really annoying, shitty kid actors.
Yeah. I would have been a Ben.
You don't want to be Ben.
I would have been one of the Bens.
No one wants to be Ben. No. Or you'd have been a twin, one of the twins. Oh no, no, thank you.
No, but that's that in itself just makes the episode for
it's
me.
So good, isn't it?
And wind in your hair.
Every time I hear the phrase "wind in your hair." That's all I can think of now in life. It's one of those Friends moments that's just punched through into sort of every day. I mean, not every day. I don't say that phrase.
Every single day of my life.
Come rain, come shine. I'm just discussing the wind in your hair. But yeah, and the Pam is also wonderful as well.
Just, I mean, never gets enough recognition because everyone always goes to Phoebe first, and Lisa Kudrow is an amazing comedy actress.
Yeah.
That we will never deny. But over the series especially, Rachel goes from being very, very cute and, you know, just kind of like looks great and being quite funny to, I think, really stepping up into being a phenomenal comedy actress. And I think that's why Jennifer Aniston has had the career that she's had. Yes, a lot of it's got to do with the hair and the face. And
she's got it going on.
She's got it going on. She's always had it going on. Yeah. But there's just something about and also I love the way she says "what" when she's being confused. Where someone says something to her, like Chandler will give her a compliment or something, and she'll go, "What?" It's just really quick, and she's just amazing. Yeah. So this is just my love for Jennifer Aniston.
For Jennifer Aniston and Rachel and that moment.
Yeah.
It's just all condensed into what, 20 seconds of the episode?
Yeah.
But that's how people choose their favourite episodes. We've had this before, haven't we, Pete? People choose it on a split second.
Because plot-wise, as we've established, not my favourite.
No.
Not my favourite. I've got issues.
And this is what quite often happens on this podcast is people remember there's always three plots in an episode of Friends, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
And you remember the thing. You go, oh, the pivot bit.
Yes.
And then, as we discovered with Luke Kempner when he came on, the pivot bit lasts for about a minute and a half and doesn't start until 17 minutes into the episode.
Oh, wow.
And then we sort of went, what's the rest of that episode? And you went, oh, yeah, there's some weirder bits, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that with Friends. You go, that's the memorable bit. And then there's just still loads
stuff
of other stuff going on around it.
And then you kind of think, who's been paired up that week?
That's the nice thing about this episode is the grouping of Rachel, Phoebe and Joey, because you don't see three of them doing something very often. And that's quite a nice combination.
Yes, that's really true. It's like, I can't remember what happens in the other, what the other people are doing, but I always remember the one with Phoebe and the smoke alarm.
Yeah.
Not to jump episodes, guys.
No, jump away.
But I always remember thinking, oh, that's really odd that like she's basically doing that whole episode on her own.
On her own, yeah.
I wonder how that feels for her because she's, apart from the fireman, no one to interact with.
Yeah, because you forget that she'll have just been shooting that on her own.
Yeah.
For like 3 days where it was just Lisa Kudrow in.
Just going, did she have a falling out with someone?
Yeah, she wanders in. Who am I paired with this week, guys? You're paired with a faulty fire alarm. Is that all right?
Oh,
cheers, guys.
Oh, thanks, everyone.
But that's a bit, I imagine, like, it's one of those things that we all just never know. But you know, when you're on a show or you're at work or whatever you're doing, you've got your mates, haven't you?
Yes.
And so for this episode, I imagine really David Schwimmer's a bit bummed because he's like, I'm just hanging out with Elizabeth, like this girl that plays Elizabeth. She's all right.
She's fine.
But all my other mates are having fun on a boat, you know, with getting pissed at this place, or you know, they're getting hanging out with Tom Selleck.
Exactly.
Courtney and Matthew are out there with Magnum PI, and I'm just here having a water balloon fight with some students.
This has just occurred to me about Ross as well in this episode. When Chandler and Monica come back from their failed dinner, and Ross is just sat there at the table, and he acts like surprised that they come home. He's like, "Oh, you're back!" He's like, "Well, yeah, you're sat in their house. Yeah. Like, of course, of course, they've just walked in the front door."
This is part of the ongoing. Just social problems that this
it's
this
a particularly weird one, but they're not even there, and yet Ross is.
Yes.
But and you've got to get into the mind of Ross at this point, right? I know he's just had a breakup, but is the first thing you do, he's effectively gone to sit in the apartment where one can only presume his sister is about to have celebratory sex because she's just about engaged to her fiancé. Do you know what I mean? Because he's waiting for them to come home having got engaged.
Yes.
And that's a night for them, guys.
I mean, even if he was next door, that would make some kind of sense. But he is effectively waiting for them.
Yeah, just waiting for them to come home.
And you don't, after a breakup, want to see people who've just gotten engaged. It's not... And also, why is he surprised? Because they've stayed the correct amount of time for dinner to happen.
Yeah.
They stayed there with Richard, so it's not they're not early home.
No.
Can I ask a question, even though I'm just merely the guest on the
You are not show. Merely the guest. You're the most important person on this podcast this week.
Who is both of your favourite pairings?
Pairings of friends. Ooh, that is a good one, isn't it?
I think there's a nice glimpse in this episode of how good Joey and Phoebe are together because there's that bit I love in the mac and cheese episode that we did a couple of weeks ago where Phoebe helps Joey rehearse. I love that scene. And then there's a really nice bit in this episode where they are trying to think of people who would ask to look at hands, and they are listing people like glove salesman, and she's like, "Oh, good one." And there's some nice interaction between those two. So it doesn't happen that often, or I'm not conscious of it happening that often, and perhaps that's why it feels particularly nice.
I think that's right. I think Joey and Phoebe is a great combination because they sort of validate each other
and
that they're on the same level. Yeah, that scene in this episode where they're listing off, you know, who would come in and look at someone's hands?
Yeah.
And they're properly thrilled with each other.
Yeah.
They've got each other's backs. Yeah, in the early days, I loved the Joey and Chandler stuff. That was like my go-to pairing. I was this is peak Joey and Chandler when they're just in the apartment before they've got girlfriends and all this and all that.
Yeah.
But Joey and Phoebe is a great one. And do you know what? The common denominator in that is Joey, who I wouldn't have said is my favourite character. But
interestingly enough, because what I love about Joey and Phoebe is that Phoebe loves Joey so much.
Right.
Like she loves him, I think, more than she loves any of them.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy Phoebe and Ross because Phoebe is so horrible to Ross. She bullies him all the time.
Constantly.
And so I definitely love Phoebe, but she wouldn't be my favourite. And again, that's the common denominator. It's either Phoebe and Joey is lovely. Phoebe and Ross, though, just...
real friction, isn't there? There's the episode where she's challenging him on gravity and evolution and all of that. And she's just hammering him about, you know, do you really believe all this? And then there's the actual episode where she literally just doesn't talk to him for a whole episode.
Yes, yeah.
She has the dream about him.
She's pretty mean to Chandler as well. But there's something just kind of... Because I think that there is... I mean, obviously when they had the flashback episode or the episode where there was a smooch between Phoebe and Ross.
On the pool table in the bar.
So I think there's always been a little bit of maybe...
A frisson.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So is that your favourite pairing? Is
Ross Phoebe and
Ross, Phoebe?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good. That is interesting. It's a question we've never asked in this podcast, Pete, and maybe
we
should.
No, it is a very good question.
Just, if it ever comes up.
No, and it has come up, and we are all the more grateful for it. Right, should we do the quiz?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a quiz.
Yeah, this is the bit where we surprise you with a quiz.
Oh, God.
This is just our way, really, of sort of ticking off all the rest of the bits that we haven't necessarily talked about, but it's our attention to detail quiz.
Okay.
It's called the lightning round.
Okay, I'm going to fail this. I'm just going to say that now.
Yeah, a lot of people do. There's a real... it's not uncommon to get 0 out of 5.
Oh, brilliant.
Because they're really specific questions
about
certain bits. I reckon there's definitely a couple in here that'd be hard to get if you haven't been watching it, knowing there's a quiz coming, for example.
Okay.
You got the questions, Epi?
Yep. Shall I go question one? What is the market value of the boat Joey buys? Not what he paid for it, the market value.
I think it's $18,000.
It's 19.
18,000 is the next bid, the next highest bid. Oh, 19 is the value.
Question two. What is the name of Rachel's head of department?
Oh, God.
Now, this is an interesting... The reason we put this one in is because... Where is he? He is not... Mr. Zellner is Rachel's boss, right?
Yes.
We know him. We know Zellner.
Point,
He's always there before. He's always there afterwards.
Maybe he got another gig.
Who's this dude?
I'm just going to make up a name.
Yeah.
Mr. Salinger.
Oh, lovely. It's Mr. Thompson. It's a really bland name. And it always reminds me of that Simpsons episode where they relocate.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
Hello, Mr. When I say hello, Mr. Thompson, and tread on your foot.
Got it.
Yeah, I think he's talking to you. So that's all I could think of all the way through that when he said Mr. Thompson. But who is that dude?
No, I can picture the actor's face.
Yeah.
He's gone.
I don't think he's ever seen again. We get Zelna back soon. You know, Rachel starts trying to sell a baby or whatever, you know, My Boss Wants to Buy My Baby episode.
Question three, what cocktail have Elizabeth and her friends put into the water balloons?
Oh, is it Cosmopolitan's?
It's a kamikaze.
Oh,
which God. I don't even know what that is. What is a kamikaze?
I don't know. Shall I Google?
Yeah, I think.
And actually, that makes more sense than Cosmopolitan's. You're not going to put a Cosmopolitan in a water balloon.
Kamikaze is equal parts vodka, triple sec, and lime juice.
Ooh, sounds quite
served with
refreshing.
A twist of lime. It's quite quite classy for a student.
Yeah, I mean, I've never even heard of that cocktail, so Ross would just think I was a Neanderthal.
Absolutely.
Oh, then he'd probably be into me, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He likes that.
It's also quite a reckless waste of alcohol for a group of students, isn't
it? Exactly.
Question four. There's two possible answers to this. I'll take either.
Okay.
Because they're both quite tricky. Rachel bids $20 on a romantic trip to Paris, but who wins the trip to Paris and how much do they pay?
Oh.
Either answer is perfectly acceptable.
Phoebe's going to go, what's his name?
I don't think I even clocked the name, to be honest.
Weirdly, he gets credited as this name in the credits, and that never happens in Friends. They're just man.
Yeah.
Man in room.
Guy going to Paris.
Yeah.
Is it $2,000 for the Paris trip?
$2,300 it is, yeah. It's basically, yeah.
Okay.
And his name is Emil Alexander. Remember that?
No!
Doesn't even ring a bell?
No.
That
not
is
at all.
Fine. Question five, Pete.
What is Richard's girlfriend's name? Or his date?
Is it Laurie?
She is.
Ooh, you're close. It's an L name. It's definitely an L name.
Lauren? Louise?
Lisa.
Isn't that weird? Because I was going, I know it was an L.
Yeah.
Damn.
You've clocked that. Hey, that's fine. Like I say, it's quite
I was too
tough.
Busy being annoyed by the sight of Richard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And or triggered by my childhood.
And do you know what? I put that question in because I just think we should give a nod to Lisa because I think she gets a real rough deal in this episode. And,
didn't even break up with her, did she?
Yeah, she doesn't have a nice evening, does she?
No. Yeah, well, exactly. We don't even see him, but she's now gone. Or maybe, are they still together when Richard... comes by the restaurant and tells Monica he still loves her.
Fuck knows.
In which case, even more of a dick move by Richard.
Yeah, he's probably going to tape them having sex like he loves doing.
There's so many weird bits. Before we finish, do you have any particular things you want to vent about the second part of this episode? Because we've touched on little very bits. So there is anything we've missed?
Yeah. I mean, we've covered it, but it's just the whole Chandler keeping this ruse going that he doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Monica is torn at all between choosing between Richard and Chandler.
Yeah, when it should be clear.
Exactly. He's been gone for 3 years. As two men, can I ask you, would you ever, if you loved a woman, wait 3 years?
No.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
You don't love them if you've waited that long.
Exactly.
Fact that it's as if it's just occurred to him by seeing her that he's actually, I'm still in love with you enough to propose to you.
It would have kind of made more sense if he'd just rung up out of the blue and just been going, look, I've been putting this off for ages, but I thought I should ring you.
Yes.
But the fact, you're right, that he's just because he's just remembered she exists,
exactly.
Basically.
It's very insulting.
Can I tell you my high and low points of the second episode very quickly?
Go on.
Low point is when Chandler pretending he's not married and just starts talking about pigs.
Yes.
Having sex and not being... It's just, thanks. Not for me.
No.
But the high point, and one of my favourite Friends jokes of all time, is when Chandler calls Richard, your big tree.
I know, I love your big tree.
Great. I mean, the whole storyline is redeemed for that for me, because your big tree is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
It's such a good description of Richard. Yeah, it is a big tree of a man.
Perfect. He's such a tree, and you would have never thought about So for me... It's worth it. The whole thing's worth it.
Just for
your big tree.
Your big tree.
Yasmin Akram, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
I hope you've had a wonderful time.
I really have.
And I hope you'll come back at some point in the future when we run out of friends and you can choose your second favourite episode.
Okay, yeah.
So start your thinking.
I'll get my thinking hat on right now.
Thinking hats are on. Peter, we shall be back next week with more of this sort of nonsense with somebody else.
We shall. See you then.
All the best now. Hello, still here, aren't we? Next week on Friends with Friends, it's the wonderful radio presenter, Sean Welby. Sean Welby, please tell us, if you will, which episode you have chosen to talk about.
It's got very serious. Mm. We're talking about The One with the Thumb.
The One with the Thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Early days, season one, episode 3. So if you are of the disposition where you would like to go and watch that in advance of listening to next week's podcast, that is your homework for this week. I always feel like a teacher saying this bit, but, you know, people like to know, Pete. People like to know.
No, it's important.
It is important. See you next week with Sean Welby.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Such timid goodbyes.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.